Okay, let's take a look. Avodas Yisrael, Pirkei Avos, Perek Sheni. Rabbi Omer, who's Rabbi? Rabbi Huda Hanasi. Who's Rabbi Huda Hanasi? Rabbi Huda Hanasi is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as we'll see. We'll see why he was called HaKadosh. Rabbi Huda Hanasi was the one who arranged the Mishnayos and organized the Mishnah for Klal Yisrael, and one of the greatest teachers of Torah ever. Now we're very fortunate. Who knows what today's Sfira count is? What are we up to? Today's the
17 to perish of its fairest.
Tiferes Shebet Tiferes. Okay, the 17th day of the Omer, which is Tiferes Shebet Tiferes, Tiferes of Tiferes. So how fitting it is to learn this Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, Eizu hi derech yeshara sheyavar la'adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Kol shehi Tiferes lo'oseha. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam is the end of the Mishnah. Whatever is tiferes le'oseha, and tiferes lo min ha'adam. Now, what's the pashup pshat in the Mishnah? Before we, sometimes you learn the svarim for a long enough period of time that you forget, like, what, how did the mefarshei pshat even explain it? So I think the pashup pshat of the Mishnah is that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling us how should a person live their life in a balanced way. It should be, when you choose to do things, it should be tiferes la'osa. It should be pleasant, pleasing. It should be good for you, la'oseha, for the one who's doing it. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam, and it should be good in the eyes of others. Meaning, if it's kind of like im ein ani li mi li, u'kashani la'atzmi ma'ani, right? I can't only do what's good for me, and I can't only do what's good for other people. There has to be a balance. Tiferes is a balance. Right? In the Sviros, you have Chesed on the right hand side, Gevura on the left hand side. Tiferes is a balance. Tiferes is the middle path. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, reflecting that balance, reflecting that middle path, and by the way, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a Gilgal of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes. Yaakov is the middle path between Avram and Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, if you want to choose a good path in life, live a life of balance. Tiferes lo osel, v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Everyone clear on Pashup Pshat? That's the Pashup Pshat, right? When you make choices, it should be something that's pleasing to you and pleasing to others. But Tiferes la'oseha could also be understood differently. Tiferes la'oseha could be that it should be Tiferes, it should be a source of splendor, it should be pleasing, it should be good in the eyes of Oseha, in the eyes of your maker. Perish, she'oseh Tiferes la'oseha hu habore yisbarach shamo. B'Torah. Make choices that are what? That are Tiferes le'oseha, to the one who is responsible for creating, the one who made it all. Namely, that my Torah and my Tefillah should be pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. Va'al yedei zeh mashpia Tiferes le'olam ha'tachton le'kneses Yisrael. And by doing that, right, the second part of the Mishnah, Tiferes lo min ha'adam, when I properly serve Hashem, so not only will I be the beneficiary of that, but I will be mashpia tiferes la'olam ha'tachton l'knesset Yisrael. I will bring down some of that tiferes, some of that goodness, upon the Jewish people, and that's what it means. V'zehu tiferes lo min ha'adam. That's the second part of the Mishnah. So if your tiferes la'osa, if your choices are pleasing in the eyes of your Creator, in the eyes of your Maker, so then tiferes lo min ha'adam. Then you, in fact, will have a tremendous impact on the world. And that's what it means. Perasha olam mispa'arim im ha'ish ha'tzadik hazeh. That the world will be, the recipients will be the ones who are fortunate to receive from the righteous choices of this person. B'mashem mevi lahem hashpa is hanal. By bringing down hashpa upon the world. In other words, no one lives in a vacuum. When you make a good choice, you lift up the world. When you make a bad choice, you bring down the world. We're responsible, it's a funny way to say it, but we're responsible for Hashem's mood. If we put Hashem in a good mood, so everyone's a beneficiary of that. We all get to enjoy it. And if we do things to upset Hashem, kiviyachol, so then we close off those channels of hashba, and it's not only, again, it's not, that's what we sometimes fail to realize. We think, oh, no, it's my choice. I can live my life how I want to live my life. No, I can't, not only because Hashem commands me to live a certain way, but because if I act in a way that is against Hashem, so I'm hurting Jared, and I'm hurting Ozzy, and I'm hurting Benji. I'm making choices that impact other people. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi says, understand the power that you have. when you serve Hashem properly, it's not only good for you, but it's good for others as well. We're going to see more about that responsibility to others in this morning. It's an important day to think about that. But let's ask a further question. The language of the Mishnah is not precise. Initially, the Mishnah is speaking in the third person. Right? What is the path that someone should choose? What is the proper path that someone should choose? Sheyavor lohaadam, right? This unassigned third person. What is the path that a person should choose for himself? Ulevesof amar lenocheach vehevi zahir. And then it speaks to you, right? What is the path that someone should choose? You should choose a path that. So why the shift? Why the shift from talking in the more detached, lashonista means in the more detached third person, and then chayach speaking more directly, heve zahir, speak to the person, right? As if it's talking directly to us. Why the shift from a more detached way of speaking to a more direct way of speaking? It gives an awesome answer. This is really awesome. Acha inyan hukach. Who's talking in this Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So let's understand who Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was. He was the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel II. He was a Halakha Tana. He was the Rebbe of Rav, right? Rav, the great Rav. Again, we call him Rebbe. Rebbe just means, you know, the ultimate Rebbe, right? Just like his student Rav is not, you know, his real name was Abba Aricha. We call him Rav. We just call him Rabbi, right? We call him Rabbeinu HaKadosh. We call him Rabbeinu. That's who Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was. So what made him so Kadosh? Why do we call him HaKadosh? Where did he get that name, HaKadosh? Anyone ever heard? Anyone know? Where did Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi get the name HaKadosh? What was so Kadosh about him? So let's take a look. Acha'eninu kach yedua shalezeh nikra Rabbi Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? Judah the Prince. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the organizer and the redactor of the Mishnah. The son of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who Chazal say came from the line of David HaMelech. The Medrash even says that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was born on the day that Rabbi Akiva died. So in many ways, he's a Hemshech, right? Torah Sheva Al Peh. These are the greatest teachers of Torah ever. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh was called HaKadosh, Legodol Sidkaso, because of his great Sidkus, Shahaya Mufrash Umuvdol Mizeha Olam HaTachton Klal. What does Kedusha mean? We learned last week. Kedusha means, right, designated and separated. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Kedusha, means to be separated. He was mufrash u'muvdol mizeh ha'olam ha'tachton klal. He was totally detached from this world. The Gemara says about Rabbeinu HaKadosh that he was so holy, the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Kuf Yud Ches, that he never placed his hands below his belt. He kept his hands above his waist. Kedusha, Shmiras HaBris, Kedusha, right? Sanctity in terms of the way that he lived his life. Ki kadosh hu lashon prisha. What does kadosh mean? Kadosh means separated. To such a degree that the Gemara says, at shekodem misaso higbia yadav, before Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away, he lifted up his hands, va'amar, shemiyamav lohaya nena me'olam haza afilu be'etzba katana. Can you imagine a person can make such a claim? That before he died, he raised up his hands and he said, I didn't benefit one bit from this world, even be'etzba katana, even my little pinky. I didn't benefit from this world at all. Now, he was an exceptionally powerful and wealthy person, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And yet, you know, like a more modern example, Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, the Halakha Rizhiner. Right? The great Hasidic master, Rabbi Yisrael of Rizhin, lived in a palace. He had diamond-studded boots that they said that the Tsar in Russia was jealous of. And yet, all of that was to display the grandeur of the Jewish people, not for his own benefit. So there are tzaddikim who sometimes, again, are people of great means, but it's never for themselves. So the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi on his deathbed could testify, I promise, I never took a thing from this world. Moshe Rabbeinu was also rich. Moshe Rabbeinu was also powerful. And Moshe Rabbeinu was pained by the fact that Klal Yisrael, you know, sometimes are accusatory of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe said, I didn't take anything. I didn't take a salary all the years I provided for you. I never took a salary. I worked for Hashem for a long time. I never took 40 years. For decades. I led the people, very difficult people. I didn't get paid for it. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was a kadosh in the fullest sense of the word. Kach haya tamid mekushar, continuing on the next page, ba'olamos elyonim. Right, a person who lives, beyond this world, is detached from this world. He's always in the olamos elyonim. To such a degree, listen to this, it's pretty wild. V'lo haya yachol ledaber im ha'olam lenocheach migodol hisdabkuso ba'Hashem yizbach. He couldn't even address the world because of his great connection to Hashem. So he often spoke in a detached way. He spoke in the third person, right? He spoke about the world and spoke about people's experience in the world almost like an outsider, which is pretty wild. Right? He would speak almost like, he would say what he was saying and people would tune in and listen. But he was so elevated that he couldn't, in a certain sense, he wasn't even able to speak to the world. The Avodas Yisrael quotes a Gemara in Erevin, where the Gemara in Erevin speaks about, and again, it's a little bit of a cryptic Gemara, a halachic Gemara, but a cryptic Gemara, al echad shayadoresh b'shuk ha'elyon, and his talis was in the shuk ha'tachton, right? Whatever that means exactly. He was in the upper marketplace, and his talis was in the lower marketplace. But al pipnimius, what this Gemara in Erevin, on Daf Nun Dalet, means, is that sometimes you have a person who's living in the Shuk HaElyon, like Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Perish Ba'olam HaElyon, Vitaliso, and his talis, right, the outer trappings of him, Hayemunach B'Shuk HaTachton. You can see a certain tzaddik. You can see a certain tzaddik. He looks, he looks on a certain level like he's in this world, but you also know he's not in this world. He's beyond this world. Again, I always use the example of the time I went to Rav Itchemeyer Morgenstern, and I walked into, I had the opportunity to get into his inner room, where there were just a couple of people at the time, and I just remember I was like, what planet am I on? In some ways, it was very Olam Hazadik because he had a bottle of soda on the table, he had like half a bottle of Coke on the table, he was wearing like four pairs of tefillin, some Svardi Avreich was like hocking him in some halachic sugya, and he has like a pile of Kabbalah Svarim open in front of him. I'm like, what? Like, what are we doing here? Are we drinking soda? Are we like in the middle of davening? Are we? Just, and he's like hocking me in English about like, oh, like what's YU? Tell me more about YU. I'm like, this is really wild. So that's being in the Shuk HaElyon and being in the Shuk HaTachton at the same time. Right? The Shuk HaElyon is a tzaddik who's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was mufresh from this world. He was beyond this world. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, after he passed away, used to come back to this world to make kiddush for his family Friday night. Rabbi Akiva Eger on the side of that Gemara is busy trying to figure out, like, how does that work? Right? And all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out, like, what does that mean? How could a person who's not in this world come back to this world and make Kiddush? Right? If you're in this world, then you're able to be motzi other people. If you're not in this world, then you're putter from mitzvos and you're not able to be motzi someone else in Kiddush. But part of the answer is Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was never in this world. When he was in this world, he wasn't in this world. So now he passed away. What changed when he passed away? He was always at the Shuk HaElyon. So the Gemara in Erevin, again, describes a person who is Doresh, who's giving a drasha in the upper marketplace, Perish Ba'olam HaElyon, and his talis is in the Shuk HaTachton. Perish Taliso Hu Aguf Hu Munach Ba'olam HaTachton. Right? His body is in this world, but his neshama is soaring in the world above. Umatzo Nachash Karachalav. And the Gemara says they found a snake wrapped around him. What does that mean? Perish machmas hisdabkus gufo el hamon ba'amru lifneim tochas musar nimshach elav gam kei meosen herhurim ram shel hamon. But if you live in the world beyond, but you have to in some way dabble in the world below, so the world below is going to have a hashpa on you. They found what? They found a snake that had influence, that had wrapped itself around him. What does that mean? It means that when the tzaddik, with Mesiras Nefesh, allows himself to come down to people in this world, when he allows himself to be interacted with by people who are below his level, he understands that the snake is going to get him. The snake is, symbolic of what? Of the Yetzer Hara. Right? The snake is symbolic of chet. So when a tzaddik allows himself, and it's his responsibility to interact with the world, but when he allows himself to, even in some small measure, to allow his talis, so to speak, to you know, to lay in this world, it's going to have a hashpa. So look at the words again. Machmas hizdavkus gufo el ha'amon. When a tzaddik interacts with the regular people, with all of their, the tzaddik is a tzaddik, but now he's talking, he's interacting, he's learning with people below his level. They're going to have a hashpa on him. He's giving them mussar. He's talking about the averas that they did, but even to talk about those averas is a yerida for him because he doesn't want to even utter those words. So it has a hashpa on him. Nimshach elav gam ki me'osan herhurim ra'im shal hamon. So he has to enter into their headspace, and that has a negative hashpa on him. He has to you know, come in contact with their herhurim ra'im. V'zeh nachash, and that's what it means. Nachash. Sha'osan ha'machshavos herhurim hein misitra achra v'zu masanachash she'v'zeh ha'olam ha'shafel. When the tzaddik interacts with people in this world, so then the nachash gets him. In other words, he has to. What choice does he have? He cares about the world. He wants. He's Rabbeinu. He's our Rebbe. He has to interact with us. But Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was really beyond that. Was really beyond this world. So Chevra says the Kashas Ramagid a pretty wild chiddush. Why does our Mishnah shift from speaking in the third person to speaking in the second person? Why the shift from the Lashon Nistar to Lashon Nocheach? Why does our Mishnah go from the sort of this very detached third person to the more direct, you know, Mishnah speaking to us? And the answer is because that's what happened with Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was really beyond this world. He's detached. He's Kadosh. But when he starts to talk to us, he becomes connected to us. And the way that he interacts shifts. Rabbeinu HaKadosh began by speaking again in a detached way. But when he spoke about the, you know, the hashpa of the tzaddik upon people, and now he's sort of interacting with people in that way. When the tzaddik is again trying to bring from his goodness upon others, as nachis me'at midargoy, he goes down a little bit from his madrega. Va'olam nis'alu mikdushaso atshabo lenocheach, and he comes down from his world to the lower world to the point that he's able to interact with people as diber imahem lenocheach. So there's a shtickle yerida for Rabbeinu HaKadosh just by allowing himself to interact with us. But he does it nonetheless. Why? Because a person who loves Hashem, right, not only wants to make Hashem happy, but understands that through my good choices, I can have a hashpa on other people. Again, interacting with people, being involved with other people, is complicated. Right? I have to take on, you know, I have to take on the chavrusa's problems. Right? If I wouldn't have a chavrusa, I just have my problems. Now that I have a chavrusa, I've got my problems and my chavrusa's problems. Right? Now that I have a roommate, I have my roommate's problems. Now that I have a spouse, and I'm blessed with children, so now I've got their problems also. But okay, that's part of our responsibility to one another, to be prepared to not only live in that, you know, that bubble, but to be prepared to be mashpia upon others. That's a really important thing, as we'll continue in the next mission. Yeah, Yehuda.
Just a couple small things I want to point out. First of all, we said that Rabbi Yehuda is the Gilgal of Yaakov.
Yeah.
And just the Gemara says about Yaakov, you know, the Yaakov Inu Lomes.
Right.
So when Rabbi was saying that Rabbi Yehuda didn't actually, he was never in the world when he was in the world.
Right.
Yaakov doesn't die because a tzaddik who isn't really living in time, he's living kind of yichud.
Right.
When your neshama leaves your body and you're no longer physical, so you're no longer trapped in time, that's what it usually is to be mace. But if you're already in a bechina of not being bound by time, then when you leave your body, there's no change, so there's no mace. So that was just with regard to that. The other thing is that kedusha sometimes can be translated as something that's like completely saturated entirely with what it's supposed to be,
okay.
Or like as a chol is something that's empty, like a chalal hapanoi. Or a chalil, or a chalal as a corpse, something that's missing in a shama. So kedusha could be something that's completely saturated. And so it's just interesting that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi uses a lashon of teferesh of teferes, because that's like, it's teferes on the outside, and then on the inside it's also teferes.
Right. Very good, very good. But I like that. It's an important thing to think about, that kedusha is, right, is fullness, as opposed to chol, which is empty space. Right, right. Yeah, there's a lot to think about that. I don't think about kedusha enough in that way. I don't think about that perish of kedusha. But there's a lot to unpack there. It's a good point.
And if I can just say one more thing, Rebbe,
yeah.
In the Divrei Yisrael on Yisrael, he talks about Moshe was I don't remember the exact lashon. It was O Yomar Madua Ata Yoshev Levadecha V'chol Amitav. Right, so Yisro is basically saying, why are you sitting by yourself, standing by yourself, and everyone else is sitting by yourself, and everyone else is standing around you. And so the Rei Yisrael basically talks about how the hispodidus of Moshe was different, where Moshe didn't have to go and separate from the people, and he could be in the Elyonim and the Tachtonim at the same time. And it was just interesting to see the contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave us Torah Shebachsav, and our Yehuda Nasi, who's kind of the Torah Dam, Torah Shebal Peh.
Right. How
the Divrei Yisrael talks about Moshe being an Elyonim and the Tachtonim at the same time, and that's what Yisro didn't understand. Whereas it seems like Rabbi Yehuda was in the Elyonim more primarily.
Right. Tzaddikim can be in multiple worlds. That's the beauty of the Tzaddik. Right? The Tzaddik could choose to just, I don't want to be a part of anything, I want to live by myself, but he's willing to come down, right? And to simultaneously exist in multiple worlds. Yeah, it's a big thing. Alright, good. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu in Torah Shebechsav, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and Rabbi Akiva, Torah Shebaal Peh. Alright, let's see what his son has to say. Rabban Gamliel Benosh Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer. Here's a nice Torah Umada insight. Yafa Talmud Torim Derech Eretz. A person should study Torah along with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, the Pasha Pshat here, probably means with Derech Eretz, with the way of the world. Right? To be involved with Parnassa. Many people cannot sit and learn all day, right? Besides the fact that it may not be financially practical. But a person should strike a balance between worldly involvement, let's translate like that, Derech Eretz, and Talmud Torah. And if a person has that balance, a person from doing Averos, and you should realize as well, Shizchus avosa misiatam. That Shizchus avos comes to help a person. Okay, let's see what we have here. He begins by quoting from the Nun Aleph, the Noam Elimelech, in Parshas Balos. Yesh lomar perusho kmo shekosav harav moreno Elimelech. Right? Harav moreno Elimelech in the Sefer Noam Elimelech. On the Pasuk Vayas Kain Aaron. When Aaron is told, Balos Haseneros, El Mul Pene HaMenorah, Ya'iru Sheva Haseneros, Aaron's told to light the menorah. So the Pasuk says, Vayas Kain Aaron, and Aaron did it. And Rashi says, it comes to sing the praises of Aaron, Magid Shivcho Shal Aaron Shaloshina. That Aaron HaKohen didn't deviate. He didn't change. He did what Hashem told him to do. A strange Pasuk, the strange Rashi. Vayas Kain Aaron. I mean, Moshe told you, this is what Hashem wants you to do. Of course he did it. Why does the Torah need to say that Aaron did it? And more than that, why does Rashi need to say he did it and he didn't do something different? He didn't change. Of course he didn't change. This is the praise of Aaron, Shalosh Shina. He didn't deviate. Of course he didn't deviate. If Hashem told you exactly what to do, you would do it also. Half of the things we do wrong is because we're not sure what Hashem wants us to do. Right? But if Hashem tells you a message, of course he did it. So Ayin Sham, look over there. I'll tell you what he talks about over there. He talks about the fact that, again, tzaddikim have a choice to make. On the one hand, tzaddikim want to be connected to other tzaddikim, both the ones who are in their world and the ones who came before their world. And also tzaddikim have a responsibility to the masses, to the people, to Klal Yisrael. So the Noam Elimelech says, right, when we talk about the seven lamps of the menorah, the seven lamps of the menorah correspond to the seven shepherds. The seven Ushpizin, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. Right? And at the same time, B'haloscha es haneiros el mul p'nei ha-menorah, and again, the Noam Elimelech elaborates on this idea. He says it's not enough for the Aaron HaKohen to be connected just to the seven lamps of the menorah, representing the other tzaddikim, but he has to, so to speak, you know, deal with the entire menorah, the full menorah, as we'll see. So what this piece is going to teach us is that, again, we have a responsibility to all types of Jews. Again, it's really the tzaddik's responsibility to all types of Jews, but in a sense, as we'll see, it's really all of our responsibility. Amich kulam tzaddikim. We're all tzaddikim. Everyone has to take responsibility for all types of Jews. You can't just say, I only want to be connected to holy tzaddikim. I don't want to be dragged down by interacting with the world. And our Mishnah is telling us, Yafa Talmud Torah derech Eretz. You need the combination. So let's see what it means. So he explains here, he writes, V'toch in Dvarav, Sha'atzadik ha-mushlam b'madrigaso tzarech le'kasher atzmo b'kesher echod b'yichod gomor b'habori yisbarach u'v'knesses Yisrael la'ashpia lehem kol tuv adonov shaviyado. A tzadik, on the one hand, has to be fully attached to Hashem, but he also needs to be fully attached to Knesset Yisrael. Right? He has to understand the, again, just like his father taught us, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi taught us. So Rabbi Gamliel is teaching us the same thing. The tzaddik needs to be attached to Hashem completely, but also needs to provide goodness for the Jewish people. And that's what it means. Yafet Talmud Torah hu avodas Hashem, yisbarach hu dveikuso ba yisbarach. On the one hand, Talmud Torah is the ultimate experience of what? Of clinging to Hashem. But Yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, romez al kinesis Yisrael. Like the Pasuk says, Kamada atamar v'atem tiuli eretz chefetz. You should become to me an Eretz Chefetz, Ratzalomar. Kishahu medavik atzmo gam b'knesses Yisrael. Lahashbia. Sorry, I just gotta move the screen. Lahashbia. Lahem koltov. So on the one hand, the tzaddik is, right, Talmud Torah. His whole world is clinging to Hashem, which is what learning Torah is. It's attaching our minds to the mind of Hashem. But yafet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Don't forget about the world. Don't forget about people. Don't forget about the responsibility. Right? Again, making sure that he provides for Knesset Yisrael to provide them with goodness. And also, not just to give out hashba to Klal Yisrael, but a tzaddik has to lower himself to lift people up. Right? You have to be willing to show concern for someone who's not yet on your level, to make time for that person. Make time for, you know, by the time you're Shana Bed, like, you feel like you're wasting your time when you're learning with the Shana Aleph kid, right? But that it's part of, what do you mean? It's part of our responsibility to each other, to help each other, right? Not only to provide for myself and to cling to those who are above me, but to make sure that I take responsibility, derech eretz, take care of the world, take care of those around you. So how is that hinted to in the context of the menorah? V'zeh sha'amar zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah miksha zahav. The menorah should be made out of a singular, a solid block of gold. Ad yirecha, ad pircha. The ha'olam makshin she'ein zeh makomo shel pasuk zeh. Everyone asks, why all of a sudden are we reviewing, right, what the menorah was made out of? This is not the proper place to highlight that. Ach lefi ha'remez she'amarnu hu mechuvan. But based on what we're explaining, we're reminding ourselves that there's a singularity to the menorah. That as you're standing in front of the seven lamps, Aaron, which represent the seven tzaddikim of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, right, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David, when a tzaddik is trying to light up the world, he has to remind himself that the singular menorah, the solid block of gold, is made up of what? Of top parts and middle parts and lower parts. It's made up of knobs and flowers. It's made up of a base. It's made up of different things, which are different in a certain sense, but it's also a single block of gold. The tzaddik needs to be connected to Jews. He says it explicitly. Even the sinners of Israel. So that no Jew is left behind. And that's what it means. That's what the pasuk says. Right? All the way down to the base, to the bottom of the menorah. Ratzalomar, may rosh ve'ad sof, ad shofel hadiota tachtona. Every bit of the menorah, it's one singular piece. It's a miksha achas. Ukedi'isa b'midrashim, like the midrashim say, that, like the midrashim highlight, the oneness of the menorah, right? The various parts of the menorah. Now, the midrash also tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu struggled to understand certain things. The Vilna Gaon says that the things that Moshe struggled to understand were actually his name, Mem, Shin, and He. The Mem stands for the menorah. Moshe wasn't trying to make the menorah. The Shin stands for a shekel. When Hashem said, right? To give a shekel, Moshe, what does a shekel look like? And Hashem showed him a matbeah shel eish, a fiery coin. And the hey stands for HaChodesh Hazel Lachem. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was being introduced to Kiddush HaChodesh, he said, I don't know what the moon's supposed to look like. How do I? So Hashem gave him a lesson in how to understand, how to interpret the positioning and the shape and the display of the moon. That's how the Vilna Gaon explains it. Our Rebbe here adds a little more to that explanation and says, well, miksha, right? Not just Moshe, but the word is miksha. The menorah is what? Is miksha zahav. So miksha alludes to the arba dvarim sheniskasha Moshe. The four things that Moshe struggled to know exactly how it works. The mem is the menorah. The kuf and the shin represent shekel or shratzim, right? And or shratzim. Because Moshe also wasn't sure how to identify, you know, which bugs are prohibited, which creatures are not. And lastly, the hay, like I told you, is hachodesh. Va'anu namar, and we can explain shakuf romez l'shratzim ki akuf hu remez kof b'fnei adam. Now I'm not sure exactly what he's saying here. Are you saying the shin is shekel, right, and the kuf is shratzim? Or he's saying the kuf is shekel and the shin is shratzim? I'm not sure. But he's saying kuf is shratzim, represents the tamei creatures. Why? Because a kof is a monkey, and a monkey is what? Is a kof b'fnei adam. Again, I'm not sure exactly what he's saying here. Okay, but these four things Moshe struggled with. That much we do understand from the Midrashim. Moshe wasn't sure exactly how to make the menorah, and Moshe wasn't sure how to make the shekel, and Moshe wasn't sure how to be Makadish L'Chodesh, and Moshe wasn't sure how to identify Shratzim. So says our Rebbe, an amazing idea. He says that these four things that Moshe, that the Tzaddik, that the Gadol Hador struggled with, represents four different categories of Jews. Four types of people. Look what he explains here. V'romez ledalet b'chinos Yisrael. It alludes to four types of Jews. What are the four categories of Jews? Yeshehem tzaddikim gemurim shehem kaminora. You have some Jews who are illuminated like the menorah, Ya'iru tamid lamala. They're always burning bright. They're always shining. They're always illuminating. V'yeshehem b'mishkal beinoni. And then there's a Jew like a shekel, right? A shekel means mishkal, something which can be weighed or measured, right? Something on the scales, like a beinoni, like someone who's trying to, who's balanced, who's somewhere in the middle. V'yesh behem machad shin asman b'chol pam la'alos mitumasam. And then there's the hachodesh type of Jews, Jews who have to constantly start over because they messed up. Jews who make mistakes and every day, you know, okay, today I'm going to do better. Yesterday it was tamei, today is going to be holy. And then you mess up again. You say, okay, yesterday I was tamei myself, today I'm going to be mechadesh myself, I'm going to start over. And then, unfortunately, there's a category of Jews, v'yesh shehem rishaim gemurim rachmana litzlan v'bechinas shratzim. There are Jews who are like those shratzim, right? There are Jews who are not just making mistakes, but they've become the mistake. Va'af al pi chen kula miksha achasu, v'yichud gamur, v'lechulam hiya tikun mirza Hashem. And yet, nonetheless, the word miksha, right? Miksha, again, is the word that's used in the context of the solid gold of the menorah, right? Is miksha achas, it's one piece, it's one solid piece, as if to say that all of these categories are connected. The Jewish people, the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. What does the word tzibur mean? Tzadikim, beinonim, rishayim. Right? We're made up of different types of Jews, but every single one is going to get their tikkun. And this is what Moshe was struggling with. Moshe was struggling to understand how is it that everyone is going to get their tikkun. U'moshe niskasha b'zeh. Heich yeh ha-tikkun hazeh. Moshe didn't understand how will this tikkun take place. L'zeh ksiv. Kein asa es ha-menorah. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Kain Asa Es HaMenorah. And Chazal explained, according to one opinion, Yesh Omrim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asu Ba'atzmo. Hashem made the menorah. When Moshe couldn't figure out how to make the menorah, Hashem says, throw it into the fire and I'll make the menorah. In other words, you're right. On a certain level, we don't understand how the Rishon are going to get their tikkun. We don't understand that. But Hashem does understand that. And therefore, your job, Moshe, is to try your best to believe in that, to be connected to that. To understand Yafet Talmud Torah, it's not just about being connected to Hashem. Im Derech Eretz, to be connected what? To be connected to the people of this world as well. Okay? But again, it's the responsibility of tzaddikim And really, it's the responsibility of each and every one of us. Okay? Let me explain it now in a much more simple way, this responsibility upon all of us. Okay? An easier piece and a really dark piece. My favorite piece from this parak is Mishnah Ches. But again, it's the same theme. It's the same theme of taking care of one another. You know? Today is a day when we think about the fact that not only because it's Sfiras HaOmer that there were 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who didn't properly respect one another, but we think about 24,000, nearly 24,000 soldiers who have given their life in the over the years, fighting for the Jewish homeland, protecting the Jewish people. That type of sacrifice, that a person is prepared to give it all up for someone else, right? Because to live not for yourself, it's an unbelievable thing. But it's true physically and it's true spiritually. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi lowered himself in order to what? In order to write the Mishnah, to bring himself down to this world. He was a person who was Kadosh, he was beyond this world. And Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol. He lives in Kodesh Kadashim, so to speak. And yet, he's Oyev Shalom Verodev Shalom. Right? Aaron HaKohen is the one who has the responsibility to not only light the seven top lamps, but Ad Yurecha Ad Pircha, mamish to the bottom of the menorah. Right? All four dimensions of Miksha, even the Shrotzim type of Jews, need to get their tikkun. Okay? So, Chavra, let's learn it one final way with this last Mishnah for today. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said the following. Hu haya omer. Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't take the credit for yourself. That's the pashup shot. What's the end of the Mishnah? Ki lakach no tzarta. Because you were created to learn Torah. Right? So, the chevra who, didn't have the best semester and didn't come to shir every day, right? So they have to reflect on how can they do better. And those who came to shir day in and day out and took advantage of the learning, right, might feel, I did an amazing job. I did a great job. So says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you didn't do such a great job. You did a job. You did what you were supposed to do. You're not some big tzaddik. That's what you were created to do. Im lamadta Torah harbe. If you learned a lot of Torah, don't be so full of yourself. Al tachzik tova latzmacha. Don't take the good for yourself. Ki lakachno tzarta. You did your job. Okay? It's a harsh Mishnah. It's like, come on, let me at least feel good about myself. No, you did. Don't be so proud of yourself. You did your job. Okay, but on a deeper level, Chava, there's another way to learn this Mishnah. Nidaktik b'zeh ha-maimer, amai lo yachzik tova. Right? First of all, let's ask the question, why not? Why can't I? If I did good, why can't I feel good? And furthermore, man nesinas tam b'davar ki lakach no tzarta. And furthermore, right, what is the explanation of the Mishnah that because you were created to do this, so therefore what? I was created to do good, and I did it, so I should feel good about myself. Adraba, tova gemura hi sheitiva Hashem yisbarach lahashlim pa'alo asher ledavar zan nifol v'nivra. Ki mi yitein l'kayim kol hamuta aleinu l'kayim asher glal kei notzarnu. In other words, he's saying, twofold. If I'm created to do this, then what? Then I should be able to, and I did a good job, then I should feel good about this. And if I wasn't, if I'm not able to do it on my own, and Hashem is helping me to do it, right? So then, ein achanami. So why would I even have a havamina that I should feel good about it? Why do I need to be reminded not to feel good about it? If I know that I can't do it without you, God, so then of course I shouldn't expect anything in return. Hashem, you're doing all the heavy lifting. So he says, no, let's learn the Mishnah totally differently. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos on Daf Hei that the word Tov itself means Torah. Ein Tov Ela Torah. It appears as well in the sixth parak of Avos, parak Kinyan Torah. Chazal say, Ein Tov Ela Torah. Tov is a code word for Torah. So let's read Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai again. Im lamadta Torah harbe, if you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha. Don't keep the Torah for yourself. It's not about whether or not you should feel good about your accomplishments in learning, about doing the job, or I should feel that I couldn't have done any of this without you, Hashem. We have to think about that also, but that's not how we're learning the Mishnah right now. Elohachi Peirusho. Here's how I want to learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us, Diromes, Sha'al Yachzik HaTova, Hu HaTorah Shalamad La'atzmo. Don't keep the Torah that you learned for yourself. Rak yilmod la'achirim gamkein. Share it with others. Chevrat Torah is meant to be shared with others. When you woke up this morning, I hope, you know, when you woke up this morning, either before davening or at the beginning of your davening, you said Birchas HaTorah. You said Birchas HaTorah. You said a bracha on what? On the opportunity to learn Torah. But the truth is, what you really said is a bracha, not only the opportunity to learn Torah, but to teach Torah. If you look in the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you know how the Rambam defines it? The mitzvah to learn and to teach Torah. What do you mean? I don't teach Torah. I'm not professionally a teacher of Torah. You don't have to be professionally anything. It doesn't have to be your career choice. You don't have to go into chinuch or rabbanus. Part of the responsibility of learning Torah is teaching Torah. Every one of us has to be teachers of Torah. And that's why when you said Birchas HaTorah this morning, you said a Birchas HaTorah not only on what you're going to learn, but what you're going to share with others. And I'll prove it to you. What's the halacha if a person just thinks Torah? Do you say Birchas HaTorah just for thinking Torah? What's the halacha according to the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Mem Zayin, Hilchos Birchas HaTorah, that if a person is maharher in Divrei Torah, you don't say Birchas HaTorah. If you're just going to think Torah without saying the words, I'm speaking, right now you're saying the words, but what I'm saying is Shomei Ka'ona, so it's as if you're saying the words. But if you're sitting by yourself, and you're just looking at words of Torah, the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't make a Birchas HaTorah. The Vilna Gaon happens to disagree, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes, but a person who writes Divrei Torah, a person who writes Torah, does in fact make a Birchas HaTorah. Why? Why does a person who thinks Torah but doesn't say it recite Birchas HaTorah, but a person who writes Torah does say Birchas HaTorah? So Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained. The Rav explained. And other tzaddikim said it before, but we'll give it to the Rav today. Rav Shechter brings it in one of his svarim in the name of the Rav. Rav Soloveitchik said, because when you think Torah, no one else can benefit from that. You can't share that with anyone. If I write Torah, at least you could read my notes and learn from it. So you only say Birchas HaTorah when the Torah experience is a full Talmud Torah experience, which means it has to have an element of learning and an element of teaching. That's unbelievable. That means woven into the mitzvah of learning Torah is teaching Torah. Every one of us has to be teachers of Torah. That is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Lilmod ulalamed, as the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, what a beautiful pshat in this Mishnah. Says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you learnt a lot of Torah, which is Tov, which is the ultimate goodness, al tachzik tov alatzmucha. It doesn't mean don't take credit for yourself. It means don't keep the Torah for yourself. Share it with other people. It should be painful for you to have learned something geshmak in Torah and to not have anyone to share it with. It's painful for a person who really appreciates Torah. You want to share that with others. You hear a beautiful idea, you want to share it. I don't want to just enjoy it myself. I want to share it with my chavrusa. I want to share it with my spouse. I want to share it with my neighbor. I want to share it with the guy. I sit down, you know, in shul, and it's like a minute to mincha, and I'm sitting next to someone. So don't God forbid, take out your phone and just, you know, check the news again, or check your stocks again. Take a minute and say to the guy sitting next to you, I want to share a beautiful Dvar Torah that I heard today. Right? Share. If one of the signs that you love Torah is that you want to share it with others, and it should pain you. Again, it should pain a person not to be able to share Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was sworn to secrecy about the Parah Adumah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who understood the secret of the Parah Adumah, and he was sworn to secrecy. He wasn't allowed to share it with anyone, and it was very painful for Moshe Rabbeinu. Zos Chukas HaTorah, right? In Parshas Chukas, when it introduces the Parah Adumah, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the ultimate chok of the Torah. So Unkelus translates, Da Gzeiras Oraisa. This is the decree of the Torah. So Chassam Sofer says, what's the decree? What's the decree? Zos Chukas, Gzeira has a negative connotation. What was negative about Parah Adumah? The Chassam Sofer says, you know what was negative? That Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who understood it. He was sworn to secrecy and he couldn't share it with anyone else. That pained Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a painful, for a person who really loves Hashem, you want to share Hashem with others. You want to share that Torah with others. Okay, so let's finish this Mishnah. Says the Kajna Sar Magid, if you learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tov la'atzmacha, don't keep it for yourself. Al tachzik tova hu ha-Torah shalamad la'atzmo, Rak yilmod la'achirim. Share it with others. Right, gamkin. V'zeu amru ki lakach notzarta. For this you were created. What does that mean? Ratzal lomar. Ki zeh ha'olam hu dugmas olamos ha'elyonim. Because in the way that you came into existence, this world parallels other worlds. And what happens in the higher worlds? Shehein mekablim ze mizeu mashpiyim ze leze. What do the angels do? Right? That they're mekablim ze mizeu, mashpiyim ze leze. Right? Mekablim dein mendein, as we know, right? Mekablim dein mendein, they receive one from another, sharing with one another. And therefore, ki lekach no tzarta. If this world is somehow supposed to be an image of a higher world, so just like in the higher worlds, there's a tremendous sense of sharing. We need to be mekabel from one another. And we need to share. We need to share with one another. And therefore, one who learns needs to also teach and share it with others. And then he ends off with a beautiful remes. He says, the pasuk says in Iov, Adam la'amal yulad. Man was created la'amal. Amal means amelus, to work hard. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what type of amelus was a person created to do? What is the work of this world? So the Gemara says, maybe the work is working with your body? No, it's working with your mouth. So the Gemara says, well, what does it mean to work with your mouth? Does it mean regular words or does it mean Torah? It means, of course it means Torah. Adam la'amal yulad. The Gemara interprets this pasuk in Iov, in the fifth parak, as being our obligation to work hard with our mouth, with Torah, to learn Torah. But says the Kashrus or Magid, but it's also to teach Torah. And therefore he says, this word, la'amal, right, la'amal, to put in the amelus, la'amal is Rashi Tevos, lilmod, al, minas, lilamid. As we know from elsewhere in Chazal, in Pirkei Avos, a person should lilmod, learn, al, minas, lilamid, with the intention to teach. That's the mission statement of a person in this world. Adam la'amal yulad. You were created, lilmod amanas l'lamid. Not only to learn Hashem's Torah, but to share it with others as well. Okay, so the theme for the day is the responsibility, again, the responsibility that that tzaddikim have to those who are below them, right? The ability to reach out to someone who is not on your level and to try to lift them up, to understand, yes, that might pull me down a little bit, but that's not an excuse. We have to believe that that everyone will find their tikkun, right? The four different types of Jews, even the shratzim, even those lowly Jews have to find their place. We're all descendants, right? The Mishnah says, "Shuschus avos samisyatam." We're all descendants of the avos. We all have that spiritual yerusha that we received, and just like the angels in Shemayim are sharing with one another, we have a responsibility to share Torah. If you love Torah, al tachzik tova la'atzmacha, don't keep it for yourself. But share it with friends, share it with others. Okay? All right. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you.